Unveiling the secrets A-list copywriters use to make themselves and their clients millions. This is the Copywriters Podcast with your host, the world's greatest copywriting coach, David Garfinkel.
So, you know, it's a surefire strategy. Makes you overconfident. It looks like this. The copy's loud, aggressive, alpha male on a double dose of Adderall. It's practically screaming at you to buy. And you know what? Sometimes it works, but not most of the time, especially these days. Hyper-aggressive copy is just a huge risk you don't want to take. And here's why. While it's true that pressure might trigger an action, it almost never creates belief. And belief is what you need to make the sale and keep the sale. Our own Nathan Fraser is going to lead us out of the land of testosterone intoxication and into an exciting new world of steadily and irreversibly creating belief in your copy. So pressure isn't necessary, because when they believe, they buy. Just as I hope you'll believe this. Copy is powerful. You're responsible for how you use what you hear on this podcast. And most of the time, common sense is all you need. But if you make extreme claims, and or if you're writing copy for offers in highly regulated industries like health, finance, and business opportunity, you may want to get a legal review after you write and before you start using your copy. My larger clients do this all the time. So Nathan, welcome. Today you are the special guest.
Oh, it's good to be back, David.
Yeah, it's been a whole 7 days. Okay, so what is your core premise about this, about pressure and aggressive copy versus building belief?
I think there's two things to it. Number one, the more you try to push an idea on somebody, the more resistance you're going to run into. And so getting people to adopt an idea as their own is a much more efficient way to get influence over their behavior. And we see this at a societal level where instead of saying you have to do it this way, instead we plant narratives and we use the media, we use the academic system, we use marketing to build beliefs. And then when people adopt those beliefs, they take the actions consistent with those beliefs. So instead of forcing actions, build belief systems that will naturally lead to the actions you want people to take. And it's a much more efficient way to get compliance out of people. I know that sounds manipulative and a little bit icky for some people, but that is what we're doing. If we believe in what we're selling, we need to get other people to believe in it as well. And it's our job to get them to take action. So rather than forcing and pushing and pressuring them like a lot of salespeople do, instilling the proper beliefs before you present your offer, it has always been a more effective way for me to do my job.
Yeah, and it's interesting that you point that out. I mean, I think of some of the special ops shows and movies on TV where, you know, one of the soldiers is going to repeat something and the other guys just nod solemnly like they've known it all their lives. And it was probably something instilled in them in their training or in the culture of the military. And I guess this goes on in schools too a lot, right?
Oh, definitely. It's the compliance experts at the top of society definitely understand this. Totalitarian top-down rule tends to, any kind of action that you have to use brute force to get taken in the first place usually requires excessive brute force continually to keep it going. So that type of influence, it's just not sustainable. Systems built on that, when you look at like a lot of the totalitarian systems throughout history, you can build it that way, but then it requires constant brute force and threat to keep it going. We don't want to be threatening our people. We don't want to constantly be using brute force to keep people coming back and buying more. We want to have a more subtle influence. And so we work on building those beliefs in our copy and our sales messages. Again, it's just a much more efficient way to get compliance.
It is. And I think, you know, it sweeps across all different aspects of society. And the most effective institutions and compliance getters are the ones who built belief. You know, I mean, I'm thinking about seatbelts. You know, I can remember, you know, commercials in the 1960s where, you know, they're pretty corny by today's standards, where, you know, they'd show people happily buckling up their seatbelts and they'd say, "Buckle up for safety, buckle up." And, you know, you hear it over and over again, starts to sink in, and you get in the car and you're not thinking, oh, they're making, well, I know some people hate seatbelts and rebel against them, but a lot of people, you know, have that belief, you know, before they even put the key in the ignition.
Well, and that's a great example because they've had the click it or ticket campaign, and they've seen that actually causes, especially in the more rebellious type, it causes a decrease in seatbelt usage. So threatening people into compliance, especially with the American spirit of "you can't tell me what to do," it often backfires. And when you're trying to push your idea onto me, versus if I come to understand the idea and adopt it as my own, that's the way that we get people to do what we want them to do.
Okay. So, you know, I agree. I think it works a lot better. How does this apply to marketing and copywriting?
Usually when we're approaching a prospect, they've got one set of beliefs. They've got a belief system. And in order to buy, we need to get them to a new belief system. Either they believe there's something wrong with them, so they can't get what they want. There's something wrong with the offer, so they can't get what they want. There's something wrong with the world, so they can't get what they want. They've got a belief that's keeping them stuck, not taking action. Maybe they've tried other offers and they blew up in their face. And so now, oh, I can't trust people who sell Forex trading, or they've tried a different offer and it didn't get them the weight loss by summer that it was promised. And so now that they think the offer is bad, or maybe it's my metabolism that's bad, they've got a belief that's keeping them stuck. And in order to take action, they need a new belief. And so what we're trying to do is bridge that gap. We're trying to create you're dumb, you're stupid, here's what you need to believe. We're going to subtly build a bridge to take them from where they're at with their current belief systems and where they need to be in order to take action. So an example of this would be, email marketing is dead. That's what they believe. I've got an email marketing course. If they believe email marketing is dead, there's no way they're going to buy my email marketing course. But if I can get them to believe, actually, email marketing is great if you do it properly. Daily story-driven content is still outperforming paid ads. So they've got the belief, I've got the belief I need them to hold. How do I subtly get them over that bridge, over that gap to the new belief system that I need them to hold before they're willing to take action?
Yeah, and you know, I can see curse of knowledge teaming up with impatience to make people think that's ridiculous, you know? I mean, people get angry. Well, why don't you see this? This is obviously true. And so then they figure, okay, I'll just pile on more benefits. And, you know, they see the benefits of this. They can't resist it anymore. But the underlying belief is like a filter. It's saying, don't even believe those benefits. It couldn't be true because, I mean, the belief kind of, It's kind of like a gyroscope or a GPS maybe that rules perception, right?
I think there's two things to that. Number one, you're right. If they still believe email marketing is dead, it doesn't matter how many bonuses you throw onto your offer, the core, the root of whether they're going to say yes or no is still rooted in no. So no amount of bonuses or extra trainings or anything like that is going to change their mind. And then the other thing is, a lot of times when trying to get someone to where you're at, you've got two different worldviews, you've got two different maps. The best way to get them where you need them to be is to start with the overlay. There's some places where, okay, I can understand why you see it this way. Let's start there. And then instead of saying, no, you need to be over here, hey, I'm going to agree with you first on the things that we agree on. And then once you understand that I'm not your enemy, I'm on your side here, I'm on your side of the gap. Here, let me show you how to get over to this other side. Let me provide a bridge to get you to my worldview.
Okay, yeah. I mean, I think that's a crucial element to find that common ground and create that feeling of being understood in the prospect, so they don't feel like you're a belief robber or a belief hijacker. But
yeah, and one very simple way that a lot of people effectively use this, we call it the hidden blocker. It's, yeah, you're right. It is hard to lose weight. It is hard to get Facebook ads to work. It is hard to get a return on your investment in the stock market. But it's not because the system is rigged against you and you're just destined to fail. It's because you didn't know this one simple thing. You didn't know about this secret ingredient that you can add to your coffee every morning that sheds the weight like crazy. You didn't know about this one strategy that top level investors are using. You didn't know about this strategy that we're using with our Facebook ads right now that build a bunch of belief before we even ask for the offer. So the hidden blocker, the agreeing with them, yep, you're right in your worldview, but I've got this one puzzle piece that you're missing. And once I give you this puzzle piece, you'll see the whole picture. Everything will come together. Everything will make sense. And then you'll understand why I see things the way that I see things.
You know what I like that is it makes them right rather than makes them wrong. It just says, you're missing something. Well, you're missing something doesn't mean you're wrong. There's just like this one thing you had a blind spot about, you know, that's not so hard.
Yeah. And if you start your sales message or just a basic argument with someone you care about with you're wrong, you've just started on you're opposing now, you're butting heads. There's no way to get the person over to your side. But if you start it with you're right, but you're missing this one piece of information, and I'm going to empower you so that you can see things more clear, you can see the bigger picture. Okay, let me, you said I was right. Let me see what you've got. And if that extra puzzle piece does bring the picture together, okay, I've moved from where I was, what I used to believe, to now I'm at the belief system you need me to be at so that I can take the action you need me to take.
Yeah. And I mean, intellectually, it's right, wrong, yes, no. Emotionally, it's like you're wrong means I'm your enemy. You're right. You're just missing this piece means I'm on your side.
Yeah.
Totally exactly. Different emotional posture.
Exactly. And all right, emotions. Emotions are a huge thing when it comes to making sales. We always want to logically argue why our product or service is better, but it's the emotional state that actually gets people to buy.
Okay. You got another belief changing technique?
Yeah. So this one we use a lot, especially for high ticket offers where they look at the price tag and they get sticker shock. They're like, it's going to cost me how much? We like to use the invisible cost. So show them what their current belief system is actually costing them. And so it could be, oh, this supplement costs $67 a month. That's a lot of money. Okay, but by not getting the solution, you're missing out on time with your family. You're not as healthy and vital as you could be. You're missing out on opportunities. Or one of my clients has an offer that's multiple thousands of dollars per month. And when they go to their prospects, same thing. Wow, that's a lot. Okay, but by not taking advantage of this, you're losing expenses on every time that something happens and you have to pay someone, you have to pay lawyers, you have to go through and do an investigation. You have to worry about lawsuits, all of these extra things that you're not even realizing the invisible cost of not solving this problem. So generally, if I've got a problem and I kind of understand it and the solution looks very expensive, if you can reframe it as, yeah, but look at how expensive not solving it is. Look at these invisible costs that you're not even aware of. Now, all of a sudden, I'm looking at it completely different and I've changed my belief system from, wow, that's expensive, to, wow, it's expensive not to get that.
Really good one. I like that a lot. What's next? You got more. I know you got more.
The next one that we love to use is the transformation story. And again, this is where we meet them at their current worldview. We find the overlay in the maps. Here's somebody who is just like you, struggling with the same thing that you were struggling with. Here's how bad it got before they took action. And here's the simple action that they took to actually change everything around. And an example of this would be like, one of my clients swore content wouldn't bring in leads. Once we reframed content as identity signaling instead of just random posting, his feed became a magnet and suddenly prospects were reaching out to him. So here's somebody who saw things the way that you did, and here's the simple action that they took, and now they're getting the results that you want, that you think are impossible. And just that subtle reframe and going through it with somebody, watching somebody where they're at, doing the thing they're afraid to do, but getting the result that they want to get, they can see themselves in that situation now, whereas before it was impossible to see that as the scenario. And now their belief went from, it's not going to work for me, nothing's going to work for me, I don't have a chance at solving this problem, to, oh, I can solve this problem. All it takes is this one thing that so-and-so, who is just like me, was able to implement easily, and I can get the results that I want just like they did.
Yeah, and this is really another form of common ground, right? When the identity signaling kicks in, it's like, oh, he's like me, she's like me, I'm like him, I'm like her, right?
Mm-hmm. And that's why in testimonials, I am a huge fan of mixing in. A lot of times we want to get like the well-known names. Oh, Tony Robbins said my program was da-da-da-da-da. Russell Brunson said our plugin was what made the difference for their website. Well, that's great, but I'm not Tony Robbins. I'm not Russell Brunson. But Joe Schmo, owner of Joe's Shoe Shack, uses our plugin in his website, and his conversions went from X to Z. Okay, I'm just like Joe. I now, instead of the belief system, yeah, this works for, if you've got a giant brand, now the belief system is, oh, this works for Joe, and he's just like me. This will work for me.
Great, great point. And I never thought of it quite that way, but testimonials someone can identify with do create a belief. And testimonials, somebody, you know, is a demigod or an industry giant or whatever, might not.
Yeah. The next one that I really love to rely on, and this is, it kind of ties back to the Socratic method, where I'm not going to tell you what the answer is. I'm just going to ask you a question that leads you to the correct response. Because again, if I tell you, it's me trying to force my opinion on you. But if I can ask you a question that gets you to go, oh, I just had an aha moment, and now I realize I had flawed thinking, maybe I have a new belief about this now. And that's the self-destruct question. If you can find the Achilles heel in their belief system and just ask them a simple question that makes them rethink it in a new light, if they're the ones that say, oh yeah, that doesn't make sense, the new way of looking at it is what makes more sense, they're going to have the instant shift in their belief system, and they're going to be ready to buy. And an example of this that I run into all the time is, well, Facebook ads don't work. Instagram ads don't work. Ads are too expensive. Ads don't work in my industry. And a real simple way to reframe that is, well, open up Facebook real quick. Every third post is an ad. If ads aren't working, why are people still paying for them? Oh, look, there's your competitor. They've got an ad. If ads don't work in your industry, why do they have an ad that shows up right at the top of your feed? And then they have to stop and be like, oh, yeah, I didn't think about it that way. maybe they do work. And so instead of me being like, look, let me show you proof that Facebook ads still work. Here's a statistical breakdown and an analysis of all the things that Facebook ads will do for you. Just a simple question. Well, if they don't work, why do people keep paying for them? Why are your competitors paying for them? Yeah, I didn't think about that.
Yeah, that's really good. If you can do it with one question and, you know, the only answer to the question is I need to look at the only answer to the question that they're going to feel comfortable with. Now, of course, this won't always work, but that's a really good example. I think ultimately most people want things to make sense and they want their beliefs to make sense too. And it's not 100% across the board. You know, we can see some wildly divergent examples, but you know, in terms of practical stuff like what you're talking about, I think that would work really well. I think that's great.
Yeah. And we have this thing in our brain, cognitive dissonance, where it doesn't feel good to hold two contradictory beliefs at the same time. It actually causes the same response as physical pain does. And so if you can point out by way of question, well, you believe this, but here's contrary evidence. Explain that to me. How does that work? Now all of a sudden I've got cognitive dissonance and I've got to figure out a way to make the two conflicting worldviews match up. And if you can do this strategically in your copy, if you can find out what the main objection is, and going back to earlier, what the missing puzzle piece is that will reframe it. But instead of just saying, here's the missing puzzle piece, ask a question that gets them to reveal the missing puzzle piece to themselves. Now all of a sudden they're like, oh yeah, I didn't think about that. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. And that brings up a really important point. I mean, a lot of the beliefs that we have were implanted in us. And so what I'm about to say is not universally true, but in large part, especially for adults these days, people will hold on to beliefs a lot stronger when they come to that conclusion themselves than when you make the logical case, you know, or you insist on it. And that's why the self-destruct question is so powerful.
Yeah. So the next one that I wanted to talk about today is the proof bridge. And this is just where you take something they already believe and then extend it into the logical conclusion that you need them to hold. So if we'll go back to email marketing doesn't work. And I could say, well, yeah, email marketing doesn't work, but if you send them daily and if you use heavily story-driven emails, they'll work great. I'm not so sure. The proof bridge is, well, dude, you watch Netflix, you watch TikTok. What's the best content? What's the best stuff on Netflix? Why do you get hooked binge watching Netflix? Well, I love the stories. What are the best performing TikToks? Oh, the ones that are really good story-driven TikTok videos. Okay, why wouldn't that work with your emails? You know, it probably would. So, finding where, again, a lot of this is, there's a seed of the belief that you need them to hold already there, especially if you're selling a legitimate offer or a legitimate solution. If you're a snake oil salesman, probably not. But if you've got a legitimate offer that really helps people, there is a seed of the truth there. It just needs to be nurtured. And so if you can find that seed and you can pour some water on it and say, hey, storytelling works great on Netflix. It works great in trailers. It works great on TikTok videos. Why wouldn't it work great in your emails? All of a sudden, they have to go, oh, yeah, it probably would.
Yeah. What I liked about that one is it lets them use their own experience in a different context to prove your point. Yeah. Right?
You're not pushing your belief on them. They're saying, oh, yeah, it makes sense over here. Why wouldn't it make sense over here?
Yeah. So was there a time when you were writing copy when you were using more pressure and hype and big claims? And did something happen to cause a shift towards this approach?
No, not really. I've always approached copy this way because, number one, I came from kind of a far leftist background and I was like, ooh, selling is icky. Capitalism is bad. So when I first got into selling, I had a bunch of I don't like hype. I don't like spam. I don't like aggressive messaging. So I had a predisposed bias against hypey, pushy type of copy in the beginning. Also, even before getting into copywriting, I was always deep into social engineering and how the school system worked, how the media worked, how they influenced society, reading things like Machiavelli, reading things like The Art of War. I was into all of that stuff way before I got into copywriting. So once I got into copywriting, I've always kind of taken this approach where, oh, the subtle, getting people to working on their belief systems first before I try to get them to take action has always kind of been my approach. And I think that it's one of the things that has always set me apart as a copywriter and always helped me get better results than most other copywriters out there.
Oh, no, that's really good. So this is kind of a natural progression from the way you've looked at the world, what you've studied and what you've been interested in.
Yeah. And to get kind of dark at the very end of this episode, we touched on this earlier, but the most oppressive systems always break down. The most brute force systems, even if we look back to the history of the United States and slavery and how that ended up falling apart, relying on brute force doesn't work for long. It always falls apart. It always needs continual brute force to keep working. And creating a system based off of people's belief systems instead. And I don't want to get too political, but we watch people, their entire identity gets bought into, I'm part of this team or I'm part of this team. And their whole base of actions, their whole moral system, their whole I go out and vote this way, I go out and support this product, now we're boycotting this product and we're buying this product. We watch that all the time. And it's not really based on anything other than belief. I believe this, therefore I'm boycotting this. I believe this, therefore I'm... And the two have nothing in common. I'm a conservative, so I'm boycotting Bud Light. Or I'm a liberal, so I'm boycotting American Eagle. No correlation other than the fact that there's a built-in belief system that's driving which actions they should take. And the belief system has huge impacts on the buying pattern. So to understand that is the root of buying decisions, it's not something we like to talk about, but it is something that is an absolute fact.
Oh, I'm happy to talk about it. I'm glad that you wanted to do this. Because, and of course, you know, when you're selling a supplement or you're selling a course, you're not getting into the global beliefs and the political identity of the person. You're just getting into a different application of the same mechanism, the same process, the same mental state.
Mm-hmm. It's the micro and the macro, but the same principle holds true in both arenas.
Yeah. Well, this is really good. Do you have any closing takeaways for us before we wrap up?
I don't. I hope that people were not too offended by the couple of areas where we went dark in this week's episode, but I did think it was important to give some extreme examples to show, again, it's the micro and the macro. What works on the macro level will also work on the micro level. And this isn't manipulative or I'm trying to bypass brute force to manipulate people into doing what I want them to do. Again, like I said, if you've got a good offer, you've got something that can actually help people, it is your responsibility to do everything that you can to convince them. And the biggest domino that you can knock over to get the biggest result, again, it's not add a bunch of bonuses. It's not 90-day money-back guarantee. It's what is in their belief system that's holding them back, and how do I get them to flip that belief system or bridge over to where I need them, what belief system I need them to hold? That's the biggest thing. That's the thing that underlies everything else. All the other stuff is just icing on the cake. This is the thing that is the root of that tree, and I think that it doesn't get enough attention paid to it.
Well, it certainly did today. And thank you, Nathan Fraser, for really, this was a course on shifting belief systems, and I got a lot of it. Appreciate it. I'm sure our listeners will too.
Okay. If you want to know how we do this in our content for our clients, how we utilize these principles to use content to get people pre-sold on your offer before they ever even see your sales page, you can find out more about that over at cultishcontent.com. We go into lots of different ways that you can use content marketing to pre-sell people, pre-frame people, move them from the belief system they hold to the belief system you need them to hold. That way, when they do see your ads, they're already ready to buy. They hit your sales page. They're just looking for the buy now button. Cultishcontent.com. Thank you for letting me do this today, David.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks for doing it. So it's not cult content. It's cultishcontent.com.
Yeah, it's not a cult. It's cultish.
Okay. I like it. All right. Well, thanks. I think we're done. Go over to copywriterspodcast.com for 439 more episodes. Please like and subscribe and leave a belief-changing testimonial comment on your favorite podcast platform.
All right. Nailed it, David. Until next time, man. We will catch you later.
Hey, if you enjoyed today's podcast, be sure to subscribe, rate, and review on your favorite podcast app so we can get into ears of more listeners. Thank you.